Well, howdy, howdy, ho. I didn't see you there. No, I did. I knew you were going to be there the whole time, listening in with bated breath. Speaking of bated breath, you're going to learn in this podcast episode how to have your cake and eat it too. No, really, literally, have your cake and eat it too, because I'm interviewing guys who have invented a way for your body to be able to digest gluten.
I get laughed at. Maybe because it's a little bit woo-woo, esoteric, invisible, whatever. But I use quantum energy. I pray over my food when I eat. I try and emanate positive emotions and feelings towards people. I do like little breath work and Tibetan longevity exercise moves to charge up my body with invisible energy. And yes, I even blast my home and my body with certain quantum energy products like necklaces and little boxes that I can use to charge up food. And I get this all from this company called Lila Q. Now, I realize that some quantum energy stuff is not provable by science, but Lila does have third-party studies revealing a remarkable 20 to 30% increase in ATP production, a vital process for cells. Quantum energy has over 59 studies already done and counting. These are randomized double-blind studies these folks are doing for blood quality and HRV optimization. I can't explain it, okay? I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I can explain how quantum energy would increase blood energy or blood quality. Could be placebo. I don't know. But all I can tell you is I wear their necklace. I use their products. I blast my home with their energy. And it's called Lila Q. I've got a podcast with them, a few, if you want to take a deeper dive. But you just go to the website. Check it out. It's kind of fun to surf around. And you know what? If anything, you're going to have some cool-looking conversation products at your house and hanging around your neck. I love them. Lila Q, LEELAQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off. Lila Q. com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off. Well, if you're tired of spending hours on cardio with minimal results, then listen up, because I got a game-changing fitness breakthrough for you. The Carol Bike, science-backed, time-saving solution trusted by experts for optimizing health and longevity. They use this special form of a workout called a rehit, which allows you to achieve superior health and fitness benefits compared to regular cardio in 90% less time. That's amazing. That's a lot of time, 90%. Studies show that by doing Carol's 5-minute workout just 3 times a week, you can improve your fitness by 12%, reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and even wind back your internal body clock by 10 years. The science is clear. Carol Bike is your ticket to a healthier and more vibrant life. You got to try it to believe it and to see what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like a walk in the park. When you're pushing hard in those intervals, you're pushing, but then it's just like over and it's done and it walks you through it. It's very motivating. It's 5 feet away from me right now. It's right here in my office. My cool little exercise toy in my office. So you get $250 off your Carol Bike. You don't have to wait any longer. You can join over 25,000 riders and visit carolbike.com today. carolbike.com. Well, if you're like me, you live a busy life. You don't really have time for many days off. That's why I talk so much about your mitochondria, because they generate about 90% of the energy your body uses, and keeping your mitochondria strong, it's one of the best ways to keep fatigue at bay. But these little mitochondria, darn things, are expensive to run. They use a huge amount of raw materials, especially when it comes to minerals. The problem is most people, including you and me, probably don't get enough minerals. And without minerals, your mitochondria don't have the cofactors they need to make energy. More than 97% of Americans don't get enough potassium. About 80% are deficient in magnesium. 40% are deficient in calcium. And those are three of the big ones. There's close to a dozen other trace minerals that are important for mitochondrial function, and most of us don't get enough of them, and you definitely can't get them from, say, table salt. It turns out that trying to take all the minerals you need by taking single mineral supplements isn't only hard, because you need a ton of pills, but it's not the most effective way to get your minerals. That's why I take liquid, humic, and fulvic complexes. These are full-spectrum mineral supplements, which means you get all the essential minerals your body needs in one go without a daily handful of massive amounts of pills or very large capsules or anything else that's hard to swallow. I use Beam mineral supplements because they're almost 100% bioavailable. They come in a liquid form that's easy to drink. It's just 2 bottles. I keep them in my pantry, throw back a shot a few times a day. They're a great way to refill your mineral stores, especially for those of you out here who are haunting your sauna on a frequent basis, or sweating, or doing hot yoga, or anything else. Keep your mitochondria running strong. So if you want to up your mineral game, give Beam Minerals a try. Go to Beam Minerals, B-E-A-M, minerals.com, and use code BEN at checkout for 20% off your first order.
He's an expert in human performance and nutrition. voted America's top personal trainer and one of the globe's most influential people in health and fitness. His show provides you with everything you need to optimize physical and mental performance. He is Ben Greenfield.
Power. Speed. Mobility. Balance. Whatever it is for you, that's the natural movement. Get out there. When you look at all the studies done, studies that have shown the greatest efficacy.
All the information you need in one place, right here, right now, on the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast.
Hey folks, it's Ben Greenfield, and I've been getting a lot of questions lately about this mysterious molecule that I consume these days before I eat any bread or pasta. It's a compound that allows me to digest gluten without any of the bathroom decommissioning that so notoriously occurs after a hefty bout of gluten consumption. Basically, it's the way I've been able to gorge on delicious gluten-filled foods without feeling like I swallowed a pair of motor-powered scissors tearing up my intestines, as they say. I don't know if they say that, but I just said it. So anyways, I don't want to not eat bread or pasta for the rest of my life. I recently posted on Instagram my children and I eating at this place called Wild Sage here in Spokane. And one of the lovely things they bring out when you eat at Wild Sage are popovers, and they fill them with lavender butter, and they're amazing, but they're also highly gluten-filled. And I still want to eat them. So I've been using this molecule that I'm going to talk to you a little bit about on today's show along with my guests, because whether due to glyphosate exposure from pesticides and herbicides or stress or a leaky gut, there are a host of modern assailants that I think make gluten a bigger issue than it ever has been in human history. And I want to delve into a little bit of better living through science to actually make gluten digestible. The guys who I'm about to speak with and who you're about to hear from have actually been on the podcast before. We did a podcast called Probiotic Enemas, Digestive Enzyme Myths, Breathing 10 Kilograms of Oxygen, Low Protein Diets, and more. And I will I'll link to that previous episode with these cats if you go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/glutenpodcast. That's bengreenfieldfitness.com/glutenpodcast. Anyways, their names are Matt Gallant and Wade Lightheart. Matt's an entrepreneur. He's a poker champion. He's an ex-rock guitarist. He's a serial entrepreneur. He's built 13 companies in the last 20 years. He's a strength conditioning coach with a degree in kinesiology, and he's the CEO of a company called Bioptimizers. And Wade is actually a three-time all-natural bodybuilding champion, happens to be vegan as well. He's an advisor to the American Anti-Cancer Institute. He's co-founder of Bioptimizers along with Matt, and he's written some books like Staying Alive in the Toxic World and another book called The Wealthy Backpacker. So these guys are interesting fellows, chock full of information, and today chock full of gluten. So welcome to the show, guys.
Great to be here.
I always love talking with you, Ben, so we're excited.
Word. Are you guys like punishing a baguette right now or some gluten powder?
That was yesterday. I keep it to Sunday as my spike days. So I usually eat 6 to 10,000 calories in a day. And I got to say, the molecule we're going to talk about was a game changer, because, you know, sometimes even with the other types of enzymes we use, there was still some digestive stress. But now it's totally pain-free and fun.
That's Matt talking, by the way, for those of you listening in. Matt, you eat, did you see 6 to 10,000 calories?
Correct.
On every Sunday?
Pretty much, yeah.
Why?
For the caloric spike, primarily. So, you know, for 6 days and do one meal a day, thanks to your guidance. Thanks for that. And then on the seventh day, I spike. So I reload my glycogen. It's extremely anabolic. I've been able to build about 27 pounds of lean tissue in the last 3 years while burning body fat doing this.
Geez, so you're doing one meal a day for 6 days in a row, and then on that last day, are you eating three meals a day, or is that still one meal that you're eating 6,000 calories to 10,000 calories?
No, it's kind of eating all day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Healthy stuff or just anything?
A little bit of both. I'd say it's probably half and half. So I do like making some really rich, fun kind of superfood desserts. And then, you know, I'll go get a burger and might eat some pizza, might eat some pasta, might go to the theater or whatever.
Wow.
But, yeah, it's fun.
How do you feel the next day?
Good. Good. Today I feel awesome. I went and just trained this morning, fasted. You know, when you're keto too, I mean, you're burning glycogen Monday, Tuesday, and a little bit Wednesday. By Wednesday, most of the glycogen's gone. But it does give me a boost in the gym for Monday, Tuesday. And I've still got ketones. You know, I'll measure my ketones on Monday. It's still usually around 0.5 because I've been on ketosis so long.
Wow.
So basically, I'm dual fuel.
All right. Last question before we talk about gluten. But are you training on that day where you're eating all that food? Or are you just training on those days where you're doing one meal a day and then taking that day off that where you're eating all the calories?
I'm taking it off. I do believe I'd probably get even more muscle gains if I did train on it because insulin's incredibly anabolic. I mean, that's why a lot of pro bodybuilders inject it.
Yeah.
But I like taking Sundays off. So for that reason, I don't.
Wow. Interesting. That sounds like an exhausting Sunday, just eating all day long. No breaks.
I find it fun, but yeah, it's easy his own.
Wow. Okay. Well, I want to talk about how you incorporate this concept of enzymes. And we have a whole previous podcast on the digestive enzymes that you use. And we'll talk a little bit more about enzymes as well, because you also have an article on my website called How to Take Digestive Enzymes. And I'll link to that too over at bengreenfieldfitness.com/glutenpodcast. But I want to start here. I think a lot of folks nowadays are aware that gluten can cause issues even if you don't have celiac disease. And there are books about this, like Grain Brain, for example, that delve into the neuroinflammatory aspects of gluten, even if it doesn't cause any type of stomach distress. But in your opinion, I'd like you to just talk about that a little bit, especially for people who might be unfamiliar with why we should still be cognizant of our gluten intake, even if we don't have celiac disease per se.
Well, the New England Journal of Medicine listed 55 diseases that can be caused by eating gluten. And the real big issue is about 99% of the people that are sensitive to gluten don't know it. And a lot of the diseases are primarily immune, neurological, and even psychiatric. So among them, we're talking depression, schizophrenia, epilepsy, migraines, neuropathy, anxiety, dementia, autism. And, you know, as a whole, autoimmunity is the third leading cause of death in the world. So inflammation, it's not just the gluten too. I mean, when you're eating a lot of this stuff, the inflammation from the wheat can be a problem. And not just, again, not just the gluten, but amylase, trypsin inhibitors, ATIs, what they're called, can provoke an inflammatory immune response in the GI tract by stimulating immune cells. And that occurs in people regardless of whether they are celiac or not. And another one, too, for the non-celiac crowd is the wheat germs. Agglutinin is an inflammatory immune-disrupting protein found in wheat. And despite the similar name, it's not the same thing as gluten.
What's the difference between wheat germ agglutinin and gluten?
Well, it's just another type of protein.
Okay. Also resistant to digestion?
Yes.
Okay. And then these amylase trypsin here, as you talked about, that's an inflammatory molecule that is similar to gluten or simply comes packaged along with gluten?
It comes packaged. It's specifically in wheat.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, specifically in wheat. And then the thing too, and I know you're going to talk about leaky gut, but I think a lot of, especially like the wheat germ agglutinin, it can just provoke an inflammatory response in the gut cells and disturb the natural immune barrier in the gut, which makes the gut more permeable. So then you start getting leaky gut. So a lot of this stuff, so leaky gut, you know, in our research is caused a lot by the wheats. And it's obviously extremely problematic for a lot of reasons that I'm sure your audience is familiar with.
Well, what do you think about this idea though, that, you know, and I hear this thrown around by a lot of gastroenterologists, for example, that it's not gluten that's the problem, right? It's the fact that, say, people have leaky guts from stress or from an antibiotic regimen or from not enough fermented food intake, and so they've got, you know, a slightly permeable gut lining, or they've been exposed to glyphosate, which we know can also wreak some havoc on the gut and render it somewhat more permeable. And that if we address those variables, right, like fix leaky gut and eat foods that do not contain glyphosate or use supplements, you know, like I've talked before about a supplement like Restore, right, which helps to protect the gut from the ravages of glyphosate, that we wouldn't have to worry about gluten.
Yeah. Wade, you want to tackle the glyphosate question?
Yeah, it's a great thing. And, you know, our research is indicating a couple interesting things about glyphosate. Number one is they've done testing from the 40s relative to now, and we're seeing a 4% a 4X increase in the diagnosis of celiac disease. And what they're tracing it to is glyphosates and how it's interrupting the digestive, so let's say the whole digestive process, particularly with how it's affecting protein assimilation. It's also altering the microbiome or the microbiotic environment, changing how the bacterial growth inside our bodies. And what's interesting, there was a study, I think, in 2009 was showing how glyphosate doesn't just affect gluten, but it can affect the activity of protease, lipase, and amylase. So I think there's a combination of factors. I think there is definitely a certain percentage of the population has trouble with gluten, but this percentage is going to continue to increase because of the exposure of glyphosates. And this was also with fish. So they were finding the glyphosate in fish. So people are eating, let's say, fish in their diets, and they're getting glyphosate through that process, which is disrupting the microvilli structure in the intestinal tract. So it's a much more serious condition than people initially thought of, and it's also proliferating into other food options.
Okay, so what I'm asking, though, is if we didn't have leaky gut and there wasn't any glyphosate, could we just eat bread and have it not be an issue? And this also relates to the fact that, as I'm sure you've heard, a lot of people will say, hey, I went to Europe, went on vacation, had a pizza in Rome, or I had some pasta somewhere in France, and I didn't have the same issues as I had in the U.S.
It's a good question, and I know what's interesting, if you go back in the research in 1900, the U.S. Congress was concerned about the degradation of protein content inside of wheat. And what was interesting, after World War II, we went into monoculture farming and we started using a lot of different chemical agents and stuff. So I think one of the issues is protein degradation in food, the use of monoculture, the expansion of or the diminishment of the nutrient quality of food. You know, so if you look at, you know, are you eating from a Mennonite farm food versus, you know, something that's come from your Monsanto seeds that are being proliferated. So I think to answer your question shortly, maybe the reality of that, though, I think is very difficult for people in the modern world.
But what I was saying earlier about the wheat germ agglutinin is that it does seem to create leaky gut in of itself, which is, again, different than gluten. So, and I think the answer is always it's a combination. You know, of course, we want to, as scientists, we want to isolate things, right? We love to isolate variables and we want very clear culprits. But in the real world, we always know it's a synergistic combination of everything, right? So, you know, why is Ben Greenfield sub 7% body fat? It's not one thing, right? It's the exercise, the cold exposure, the keto, the intermittent fasting, the supplement, all the other lifestyle things you do.
My parents.
Right, genetics. So, you know, again, I think it's the same thing with health problems, and in this case, gluten. I mean, most likely it's a destructive synergistic combination of leaky gut, glyphosates, and a lack of DPP-4, which we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, I want to talk about DPP-4, but I mean, I'm surprised that neither of you guys have brought this up, but there is this idea, of course, that all plants have a natural built-in defense mechanism, and that must be rendered inactive in order for us to be able to digest the plant. This is why you rinse the saponins off of quinoa. You don't just buy quinoa from Costco and go cook it, which a lot of people do, then complain they've got quinoa in their crap and they didn't digest it and their body just must be allergic to quinoa. You have to actually soak and rinse the quinoa. And you could say the same thing for rinsing brown rice, or you could say the same thing for like sprouting or at least soaking lentils so they don't give you horrible gas. I mean, in my opinion, I think that to a certain extent, it comes down to how the food is actually prepared as well. Like I eat sourdough bread, for example, and I can't get sourdough bread when I'm out at a restaurant, which is when I actually use quite frequently this DPP-4 stuff that we're going to talk about. But I'll eat my wife's sourdough bread that's been soaked and been sprouted and fermented, and a lot of the gluten has been pre-digested, and the glycemic index gets lower when you eat that bread. So I think part of it comes down to the actual food preparation methods, does it not?
100%. Absolutely. I mean, in a perfect world, you'd be eating pre-digested food exclusively. But when you can't, which is most of the time, you know, that's where enzymes come in, because enzymes will help break stuff down. So that's the thing. I mean, in a perfect world, you'd be using probiotics and enzymes to literally break down the food before you eat it. And we talked about this in our last podcast about using even enzymes in your shake and drinking it while you work out, which has been shown to improve results from a workout significantly. So yeah, pre-digested foods, the ultimate, really is.
Yeah, that's part of the research. And I'm sure that you, as a vegan bodybuilder, looked into this way, that idea that if you consume digestive enzymes when you take a plant-based protein, like a hemp or a rice or a pea, there's actually research that shows that the protein in that becomes as bioavailable as what you get from like a whey or an egg protein.
Well, that's exactly what was the original design of why I was so interested in enzymes, and particularly proteolytic enzymes, about being on a plant-based diet. Of course, there was not even hardly any plant proteins back when I started that. One of the reasons we cultivated and developed that product, Masszymes, is particularly to break down so I could get the amino acids out of the food that I was eating, because I was eating such a low protein diet with a high protein requirement because of the sport I was in. So that's kind of started it. And then that cascaded into all these other applications that enzymes have, and we haven't looked back ever since.
Okay, so I do have, before we get into how these enzymes actually work and what happens when you consume an enzyme along with something like bread, I wanted to ask you guys about actual testing for gluten, and whether or not you recommend any type of test to see whether or not you have some kind of reactivity to wheat, and also whether or not you have any type of issue with cross-reactivity, if either of you guys want to speak to cross-reactivity.
Yeah, so if you want to get your, we'll probably put a link to this, but basically you want what's called an anti-tissue transglutaminase antibody, TTG and TTGA, or an endomysial antibody, EMA, DGP, ARR, total IgA. So that's the testing. It's pretty, you know, you're going to have someone that understands that, but of course, one of the panels that I think is great is a Cyrex panel. To summarize that, you can look that up for gluten sensitivity, or that's
oh, what you just described is the Cyrex panel. That's the array that they use. Okay.
Some people like to go depth, though. They want to know all.
They have their array 4, which is the one called gluten-associated cross-reactive foods and food sensitivities, and that's one where you could find out whether or not, for example, cow's milk or caffeine. I know coffee is a big one. They do potato, they do sesame, they do quinoa. You can find out if any of these foods, if consumed along with gluten, wind up making you even more susceptible to how gluten could deleteriously affect your digestive tract. That's how these are working.
Correct. And also, they're also testing to see, one of the things they're looking at is gliadin peptide antibodies. So gliadin is kind of the big culprit in gluten that creates a lot of problems. And then your body starts producing antibodies, and that's what starts triggering these anti-immune responses in the body that can be leading to leaky gut and all this other stuff that goes on, where you're literally breaking down your system. And that's what they're testing for as well.
I mean, you guys mentioned wheat germ agglutinin and gluten, but they test for, I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff, alpha-gliadin and gamma-gliadin, and they look at like microbial transglutaminase. They've got a whole host of things that they look at on those panels. So they get pretty in-depth in terms of being able to tell you whether or not you're truly sensitive to gluten, or maybe you're not even sensitive to it, but it's more like glyphosate, it's leaky gut, it's the fact that you're consuming sources of gluten that haven't been properly soaked or sprouted or fermented, et cetera.
Exactly.
Okay. So what I'll do is, and by the way, for those of you listening in, that's array. If you go to Cyrex, they call them arrays, A-R-R-A-Y, arrays, and that's array 3X and array 4. The one I usually recommend is array 10, which just like tests you for all sorts of different food immune reactivities. But if you really want to dial in gluten and just know beyond a shadow of a doubt what things you might be allergic to when it comes to bread or gluten, or things that when consumed along with those would make them more reactive, you would want that array 3X and array 4. I think those are the two. So I'll link to those. They're blood tests. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but a doc has to order those, don't they?
Probably in the States, yeah.
Yeah.
One of the fun things living in the United States, which I don't, but
yeah. But in Canada, are you guys able to just order from a website?
I mean, I live in Panama, so, you know, that you can just pretty much do whatever you want all the time.
Yeah, I had forgotten you're in Panama. But aren't you up in Canada, Wade?
Not at the moment, no. But most of your tests still need to be ordered by a doctor in Canada as well.
Okay, gotcha. Where do you live, Wade?
That's a great question. Right now, I'm hanging out in Santa Monica.
Okay, all right. You're kind of nomadic, or
deeply nomadic.
That's right. You have a book called The Wealthy Backpacker.
Correct.
All right. Well, we won't go down that rabbit hole. So last time – oh, go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, so how can gluten negatively affect the brain? Well, first, gluten can inflame the brain by causing an autoimmune response. So autoimmunity is an abnormal response to the body's own tissues. In other words, something comes into the body and the body goes on alert but somehow mistakes its own tissues as a foreign invader and declares war mistakenly upon itself. So allergies is a great example of that. In this case, antibodies meant to fight gluten also attack your body. Second, during the digestive process, gluten can be broken down to strange proteins that are a lot like psychedelic drugs. These opium-like proteins called gliadorphins, also known as kind of gluteal morphine. As you probably imagine, these can drastically change brain function and behavior, and I think it's one of the reasons people get so hooked on pasta, for example. I mean, people talk about that all the time. And then the third way is by really overloading the brain with glutamate, which people that are familiar with MSG knows that's what it does. So that accelerates, activates, irritates, and damages brain cells when you got too much of them. So the excessivity is obviously linked to psychiatric disorders because glutamate is an excitotoxin. So those are the big issues. And the real big issue too, I know a lot of people say, well, I don't have any gluten in my house. You know, my wife's celiac. But, you know, she's scared to go to almost any restaurant. She used to be scared before her Gluten Guardian came out. But the problem is, unless a restaurant is like a hardcore raw food place that has no gluten in the kitchen at all, it's almost impossible because to avoid it because the whole kitchen's contaminated. So those are the real issues besides just the bloating and all the other things that people are familiar with.
Yeah, those opioids you talked about, they're not only found in gluten, but they're also found in dairy. You'll find a lot of people when they go on a gluten-free diet or casein-free diet, and I actually want to talk with you about casein and casein pre-digestion as well, they experience withdrawal symptoms. And a lot of times they think it's like keto flu or they went low carb or there's something else in the diet causing issues. And in fact, you can be addicted to this. It can be like coming off coffee, but almost more profound in terms of noticeable symptoms. Simply because the opioids in a lot of these foods, if you do go gluten-free cold turkey, because gluten has almost like this morphine-like addictive property to it, gluten and the casein in dairy.
Yeah, I used to be a big casein fan. It was one of my first shifts when I started moving into a more plant-based diet. And of course, that was the tradition in Ayurvedic, would use casein. And then I ran into a whole lot of troubles down the road with that. And what's interesting is the China study talked about, I believe it was that high levels of casein, anything that was around 10%, they noticed an increase in tumor growth for people who had a 10% casein diet, and it fell below if it was below 5%. And all of that's related to the A1 inflammatory proteins. And so I think that, you know, that again, there's going back to compound factors that are causing inflammation in the body, the silent killer that you don't necessarily feel initially, but later on it cultivates into other issues. I mean, the average person who gets diagnosed with celiac or gluten intolerance, for example, is between ages of 40 and 65 because basically they've had symptoms that they didn't necessarily realize, you know, whether it was abdominal pain, headaches, anemia, you know, joint pain, muscle pain, brain fog, all these different things, psoriasis, depression. These can all be caused by the inability to process these inflammatory proteins in gluten also and in casein.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's something that I don't talk about a lot on the show, but it is that A1 versus A2 issue. The beta casimorphin in A1 milk, it would be that's the one that's the opioid like peptide that causes almost like that addictive withdrawal property when you consume A1 milk. And also there are a lot of other issues. You get increased risk of diabetes, increased risk of heart disease. You know, they've linked it to like sudden infant death syndrome and autism. Like there's a lot of issues with drinking A1 cow's milk. milk, but the majority, the lion's share of the milk in the U.S. actually is A1 milk, unless you specifically go out and, you know, you can Google, you know, A2 milk. Like, there's one company in the U.S. called the A2 Milk Company. You can avoid milk, period, unless it's like cheeses from Europe and things like that. Or you can use goat milk or camel milk, or I know one that's kind of up and coming right now as far as being healthy for the body is like water buffalo milk. And I don't know who's milking the water buffaloes or where all those water buffaloes are kept. But ultimately, yeah, that's a big issue as well, completely separate from gluten. But, you know, I think people need to be aware that a lot of these enzymatic issues that we talk about and the use of enzymes can at least control the susceptibility to some of the opioid-like properties of these.
And just to highlight the glyphosate issue too, because maybe some people listening aren't aware, they're the ones used by the great evil empire Monsanto, who's been bought out by Bayer. And the issue is, what it does, it basically damages the intestinal tract. And Wade, you want to go on a rant on Monsanto, because, you know, anybody who's clued in, I mean, they could be potentially the most evil company in the world, in my opinion, a lot of people's opinions. And I think Wade's got a good rant for us queued up here.
Yeah, well, you know, not to go too crazy, but the bottom line is when there's smoke, there's fire. And during the last administration in the United States, they were written into protection against lawsuits from the Constitution. And now the first company in history to have that put forth. And of course, a lot of the former chief executive officers were actually working as advisors in the previous administration in the United States. And so that's always a big question mark. And the other thing is it's pretty demonstrable evidence, the level of damage that does inside the intestinal tract. And so the question is why is this company being protected? Why is this product being all over there? And why are we seeing a correlation with all these increased digestive related illnesses with the massive use of this product? And then suddenly this company has now been bought by a large pharmaceutical enterprise in Germany. And so I think it raises a lot of questions that people need to be educated about. And I'm grateful to be on your podcast to kind of share some of these things. Because, you know, when you start tracking these things down, it just makes it why you need to pay attention to what you're doing, what you're eating, and our food has essentially been mutated and not to our advantage in all cases.
And just to highlight how evil these guys are, in India, there were, you know, farmers that didn't want to use their seeds. So what they did, they built some farms near these farmers. Then, of course, with the wind, there was cross-contamination. And they sued them because they have patented seeds. So they destroyed these farmers' livelihood. We could keep going on and on, which I know it's not the point of the podcast today, but I think it's good to bring awareness to this problem.
I get laughed at, maybe because it's a little bit woo-woo, esoteric, invisible, whatever. But I use quantum energy. I pray over my food when I eat. I try and emanate positive emotions and feelings towards people. I do like little breath work and Tibetan longevity exercise moves to charge up my body with invisible energy. And yes, I even blast my home and my body with certain quantum energy products like necklaces and little boxes that I can use to charge up food. And I get this all from this company called Lila Q. Now, I realize that some quantum energy stuff is not provable by science, but Lila does have third-party studies revealing a remarkable 20 to 30% increase in ATP production, a vital process for cells. Quantum energy has over 59 studies already done and counting. These are randomized double-blind studies these folks are doing for blood quality and HRV optimization. I can't explain it, okay? I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I can explain how quantum energy would increase blood energy or blood quality. Could be placebo. I don't know. But all I can tell you is I wear their necklace. I use their products. I blast my home with their energy. And it's called Lila Q. I've got a podcast with them, a few, if you want to take a deeper dive. But you just go to the website. Check it out. It's kind of fun to surf around. And you know what? If anything, you're going to have some cool looking conversation products at your house and hanging around your neck. I love them. Lila Q, LEELAQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off. LeelaQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off. Well, if you're like me, you live a busy life. You don't really have time for many days off. That's why I talk so much about your mitochondria, because they generate about 90% of the energy your body uses. And keeping your mitochondria strong is one of the best ways to keep fatigue at bay. But these little mitochondria, darn things, are expensive to run. They use a huge amount of raw materials, especially when it comes to minerals. The problem is most people, including you and me, probably don't get enough minerals. And without minerals, your mitochondria don't have the cofactors they need to make energy. More than 97% of Americans don't get enough potassium. About 80% are deficient in magnesium. 40% are deficient in calcium. And those are three of the big ones. There's close to a dozen other trace minerals that are important for mitochondrial function, and most of us don't get enough of them, and you definitely can't get them from, say, table salt. It turns out that trying to take all the minerals you need by taking single mineral supplements isn't only hard because you need a ton of pills, but it's not the most effective way to get your minerals. That's why I take liquid, humic, and fulvic complexes. These are full spectrum mineral supplements, which means you get all the essential minerals your body needs in one go without a daily handful of massive amounts of pills or very large capsules or anything else that's hard to swallow. I use Beam mineral supplements because they're almost 100% bioavailable. They come in a liquid form that's easy to drink. It's just two bottles. I keep them in my pantry, throw back a shot a few times a day. They're a great way to refill your mineral stores, especially for those of you out here who are haunting your sauna on a frequent basis, or sweating, or doing hot yoga, or anything else. Keep your mitochondria running strong. So if you want to up your mineral game, give Beam Minerals a try. Go to Beam Minerals, B-E-A-M, minerals.com, and use code BEN at checkout for 20% off your first order. Well, if you're tired of spending hours on cardio with minimal results, then listen up, because I got a game-changing fitness breakthrough for you. The Carol Bike, science-backed, time-saving solution trusted by experts for optimizing health and longevity. They use this special form of a workout called a rehit, which allows you to achieve superior health and fitness benefits compared to regular cardio in 90% less time. That's amazing. That's a lot of time, 90%. Studies show that by doing Carol's 5-minute workout just three times a week, you can improve your fitness by 12%, reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and even wind back your internal body clock by 10 years. The science is clear. Carol Bike is your ticket to a healthier and more vibrant life. You got to try it to believe it and to see what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like a walk in the park. When you're pushing hard in those intervals, you're pushing, but then it's just like over and it's done and it walks you through it. It's very motivating. It's 5 feet away from me right now. It's right here in my office, my cool little exercise toy in my office. So you get $250 off your Carol Bike. You don't have to wait any longer. You can join over 25,000 riders and visit carolbike.com today. Carolbike.com.
Yeah, it is kind of scary since Monsanto kind of has a hand in pretty much every major subsidized food, at least in Canada and the U.S., like corn and soy. So if a farmer wants to like get a break on the cost of their food production, they're likely going to have to receive those savings on like a Monsanto brand product because they have such a dominant position, at least in North American agriculture. So it's kind of a shitty scenario for a lot of farmers.
And for the population, because at the end of the day, how this product works, if you look at glyphosates, what they actually do is they interrupt the enzymatic function of all these various bugs that they're supposedly trying to protect people from. And the question I always ask is, well, how much of this stuff do I actually have to consume before it disrupts the enzymatic function in my body and damages the microbiome inside my body? And the evidence is mounting up to say not that much.
Really? So that's actually how glyphosate is working. It's actually targeting enzymes and then potentially inhibiting your own enzyme production or damaging your own enzymes upon consumption.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, enzymes, there's over 25,000 different enzymatic functions inside the body. And you know, we don't know what the cascading effects are. But one thing that we do know is people are getting fatter and people are having more depression and there's a lot more dysfunction relative to digestion in the population. And so, again, we can't say it's a causality, but certainly I believe it's correlative.
Hmm. All right. I want to get back to these 6,000 to 10,000 calorie days that Matt is embarking upon and and this idea of pre-digesting it. So last time we were together, Matt, you told me you had this stuff that you could sprinkle on bread and you could actually watch the bread digest when you sprinkled this stuff on bread. So mm-hmm. Get into the science of what exactly you were using and how an enzyme that pre-digests gluten is actually working.
Yeah, so the enzyme we've been alluding to the entire podcast called D-peptidyl peptidase 4. It's a proteolytic enzyme, which means it helps break down protein, which is what gluten is.
You can just abbreviate that DPP4 if you want, right?
Correct, yeah. So we'll just use DPP4 moving forward. Yeah, it's a really simple experiment. I took two big pieces of bread, put them in a bowl with water, and I sprinkled a few capsules of Gluten Guardian, which has the DPP4 in it, and it dissolved the bread in 15 minutes. And people can go to the link, which Ben will link, and you can see the experiment for yourself.
Oh, you have a video of it?
Yeah, I did a time-lapse video of it.
Oh, sick.
So you can see it. Yeah, it's awesome. And yeah, basically the way it works is gluten's a protein, and the DPP4 is a proteolytic enzyme that'll break it down. And we also combined four other proteolytic enzymes, which helps break down other types of proteins. Because again, the reason is most people eat protein with the gluten. For example, if you eat a hamburger or a pizza, it's not just gluten, right? There's bread, meat, and stuff. So we use a variety of proteases that work at different pH levels, because the pH levels change several times as it passes through the intestinal tract, starting in your stomach and enters acid buffers, and it changes again to small intestine and large intestine. And then we have also three types of amylase, which helps break down the carbs. So we got glucoamylase, which is an important digestive enzyme because it helps absorb nutrients and creates energy from some of the common plant foods that we eat. It does this by breaking down the starch that occurs in a lot of vegetables. So this starch is presented in high amounts in common foods like potato, corn, rice, etc. And also it adds as a filter in processing a lot of different prepared foods. Then we got the way the glucoamylase works, or it cleaves and breaks off a glucose molecule at the end of the starch polysaccharide molecules and basically breaks it down so you can use it. And it digests the starches. And then from there, we also have another enzyme called bacterial amylase and amylase, which helps break down the starches and carbs, again, at various pH levels. So that's the formulation, and that's how it works.
Okay, so when you do something like this, is this something that you actually break open and sprinkle on your food, or do you take this before you eat, after you eat? Like, how's it work?
I just take it while I eat, you know, so before I eat, I just grab the food. But yeah, because if you sprinkle your bread with it, like I just described, in water, it's not going to be a very good culinary experience.
No.
Because it just becomes mush.
Your sandwich is going to turn into a soup.
Exactly.
I actually have a bottle. Both my kids have a bottle too, you know, for when they go to birthday parties or when they're at school and if they have any gluten. And I just give them a bottle. I bought them both a fanny pack, and sometimes I'll put it in their fanny pack or in their backpack. But they have a bottle, and they use it when they're doing their foodie thing or when they're at a birthday party. But what I wanted to ask you, when it comes to this pre-digestion, is, you know, it's one thing to pre-digest it, but do you actually see a reduction in symptoms, or has this been studied when it comes to alleviating symptoms? I mean, is it breaking it down to the point where there are people, you know, with gluten reactivity issues who actually aren't feeling that?
Well, it all becomes a matter of dosage. So if you're a celiac and you're eating a 12-inch pizza, you're going to need a pretty high amount. So I think, because I've done some tests with my wife, we went to a wedding on Saturday night. She ate some gluten, which she rarely does. And we came back and she took some Gluten Guardian and she felt good. So,
oh, she took it after?
Yeah, because I didn't bring it. That was a loser move on my part. So we took it the next day and she felt a lot better. So it does alleviate. But ideally, you're taking it with the food. Okay. Then the capsules are going to open up the intestinal tract and it'll break it down as it's getting digested.
Okay. So when you're using this, it sounds like you've got enough in there to where you wouldn't actually need to take like a separate bitters or a separate digestive enzyme?
Depends what you're eating. I mean, if you're eating a lot of meat, and I mean, again, when I'm keto, I don't use Gluten Guardian. I mean, unless I was eating gluten with it, but that's when I use Masszymes, which we talked about a lot in our first podcast.
Masszymes is the one that's high in protease for breaking down proteins like steak, right?
Correct.
Okay.
And we're actually working on a keto-based enzyme, which is going to come out next year. So we'll come back and talk about that. But yeah, so ideally, you know, our goal is to be the digestive company and create different solutions for different types of meals and different types of diets. And really, when you're eating gluten, Gluten Guardian is your friend.
So if you were at like a steakhouse and they're bringing out bread with the steak, and I actually like to have like when I'm at a steakhouse, I like to have a big old chunk of the bread that they bring out, and I'll sprinkle salt on it and usually like a good butter. I enjoy that as a steakhouse, you know, with my pre-steak cocktail, and then I have my steak and a glass of wine. Like my go-to is I'll have a wedge salad, and I know all the orthorexic out there just took a sharp intake of breath because I'm getting blue cheese and bacon and God knows what else on the wedge salad. And then I have a steak and I have a glass of wine with a steak. I always ask for organic, biodynamic wine and, you know, look for a grass-fed, grass-finished steak. And I actually do pay attention to the ingredients on the wedge salad and often ask for the dressing on the side because usually they use too much, et cetera. But yeah, I mean, typically I'll do a Moscow Mule or some kind of like bitter-rich, digestive-rich cocktail and the salad, and then I'll have a couple slices of the bread with the salt and the butter, and then I'll order whatever cut of steak I want with it, like a good glass of organic biodynamic wine. But what I could do is take something like Gluten Guardian right when I get there before all the appetizers and the bread and everything come out, and then I could take something like the Masszymes right before the steak comes out.
Yeah, that's what I would do. That's what I do. You know, when I have those types of meals, I'll have 3 to 5 capsules of Gluten Guardian and about 5 capsules of Masszymes. And by the way, and you're not going to be happy to hear this, but again, it's just another reason to take DPP-4. A lot of the stuff that you eat, including wine and blueberries, basically all the berry and citrus polyphenols, have been found to inhibit DPP-4. So when you do take or drink those, definitely take a few Gluten Guardians with it.
And it's not something like a chemical that's added to the wine or the polyphenols. You're simply saying polyphenols inhibit DPP-4 activity?
Correct. And we'll put a link in the show notes so you can see the study on that.
I wonder why nature would have had that kind of built-in mechanism. That seems odd.
It's a good question. It does. DPP-4 inhibitors, some diabetics use it because, and Wade can maybe get into this, but yeah, so it has to do a little bit with the insulin. Wade, you want to get into it?
Yeah, DPP-4 can break down various hormones inside the body, particularly like things like insulin or something, so which has a short half-life. So that's where it can interrupt some of that function for various people.
All right, so when it comes to the wheat germ agglutinin and some of the other things we talked about, like the alpha trypsin inhibitors, does this have any type of effect on things other than gluten that would be found in gluten-containing foods?
Yeah, it helps break those down, as well as break down casein, which we talked about earlier. So that's what's awesome. So again, not just when you're taking gluten, but as we had talked about with the casein, when you are having, you know, any type of, especially again, the A1, but any type of the milk proteins, definitely take some DPP-4 with it.
What about milk sugars like lactose?
Well, then you need lactase, which is a different enzyme.
Okay. Is lactase in there at all?
We have that in the Masszymes. So,
yeah.
But I will add one piece to this. If you're on a plant-based diet or you have a lot of plants in your diet, probably adding this in would be make a lot of sense, because the chances that you're consuming glyphosates are pretty high. And so you need to have some sort of mechanism to break that down. And I think it's a good insurance policy if you're experiencing digestive-related illnesses. And what I've found is a lot of people just mix and match until they find their right combination.
Okay, got it. So basically, when it comes to glyphosate, you're saying that glyphosate inhibits, like you mentioned earlier, DPP-4. So even if you're consuming a plant and not necessarily eating bread, if you were to take something like Gluten Guardian before you're eating, let's say, a salad, and you didn't know if the salad was herbicide and pesticide free, you could consume that and it would not make as big an impact on downgrading your DPP levels.
Yeah, exactly. And we have a lot of testimonials of people that are anecdotally confirming that, people that were suffering for years, didn't have any way to get out of it. And then, you know, they added this in and all of a sudden, you know, the symptoms go away. So that's always a great indicator in the real world, as I like to call it, because sometimes we can get all lost and stuff is like, does this work?
Yeah. Now, what were you talking about with keto enzymes?
Yeah, so that's a new formulation we've been working on. It's really going to be designed for people on keto. So it's a variety of lipases and a bunch of other cofactors that'll help really people not just break down the fat, but utilize it. And it should really boost mitochondrial energy coming from fat. So we're really excited and should be coming out.
That's actually,
which, by the way, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say that's a good idea because a lot of people, you know, they'll start on MCT oil or coconut oil or you know, putting butter in their coffee, for example, and they wind up with digestive distress or, you know, big fatty floating stool, and it's because they're not actually breaking down the fats properly. And I think a lot of people don't realize there are actual enzymes that can break down fat.
Correct. Yeah, basically they're not producing enough lipase, which our friend Gary Lineman, he tested all of our products, and he loved Gluten Guardian. So he and he's not a gluten eater, but for him, he found that that had the biggest impact. It's going back to the anecdotal stories. That's Gary Lineman, the Human Garage. Yeah.
Okay. Oh yeah, Gary from the Human Garage. Yeah, I drew a blank there for a second. Yeah. So Gary's using this stuff as well, huh?
Yeah, he loves it. Yeah.
Okay. All right, got it. So you said you take 3 to 5 of the Gluten Guardian capsules, but then you'll add in the Masszymes. Then if you were going to eat a high fat meal, eventually once you have this lipase digestive enzyme, you'd add that in as well.
Correct. So the idea is to have basically, again, the right solutions for the right meals.
Yeah.
So if you're eating a lot of steaks, if you're eating pure protein, then Masszymes is it. If you're eating a lot of fat, then this new product's going to be the solution. And when you're eating carbs, Gluten Guardian's your friend.
Got it. Okay, cool. Now, what about kids? I mean, I've been giving this to my boys, obviously. They're just taking 2-3 max. I usually take 5 or 6 just because I eat larger pieces of bread than they do, and I'm a big old boy. But how about for kids? Is this okay for them to take?
Sure. Yeah, no problems.
I ask after I feed it to my kids.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay, yeah, so I want to ask you guys, too, about your own diet, because I'm sure the people are curious. I mean, you alluded just a little bit to the fact that you have this massive, almost like cheat day on a Sunday, Matt, and then you've got this one meal a day on the other days. But that one meal a day, is it pretty hefty? Like, what's that one meal look like?
No, it's probably about 1,500 to 1,800 calories, pure keto, ribeyes primarily, ribeyes, lamb, ground lamb, eggs and bacon. So basically it's a keto meal. And so basically I'm a calorie deficit, and I'll fast all day Saturday. So I eat for 5 days and then spike on Sunday. So my average calorie intake ends up being around 2,000 to 2,300 a week.
Yeah.
And my goal is just to keep recompositioning my body. So I've got goals, and I should be there in the next 2 years.
Interesting. What kind of weight training are you doing to actually put on that amount of mass while you're eating that meal plan scenario?
It's changing all the time, but I just lift like 3 days a week right now, and it works very well. I do find that with the one meal a day, my recovery is not as good as it was eating more frequently. So I've trained as much as 5 days a week, but right now it's just 3 very challenging, hard weightlifting workouts.
Like full body, high rep, low weight, high weight, low rep. What's it look like?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm doing right now. It's a push-pull split. So I just trained right before our call. Today was push day. So it was, bench, squats, barbell press, closed grip bench, ball bearing split squats, flies, tricep pushdowns, and then side laterals. So that's push day. And then there's a pull day. So pull day will be deadlifts, barbell rows, pull-ups, barbell curls, and then some other moves. So it's either push, pull. And I alternate push-pull. But that's my current
schedule. So that's four training sessions a week?
No, I do 3. So basically it alternates each week. I got 8 workouts that I rotate through. But
oh, I see. Okay. So over the course of a 2-week time span, you're hitting an even number of push and pulls.
Correct. And okay. Then Wade, what are you doing right now? You're doing a 5-day body part split?
Yeah, I do a 5-day a week body part split. And I also add in three high-intensity sprint sessions for about 15 minutes, which is there's a little warm-up and then there's the little ends at the end. So that's, okay, that's my routine.
But and you're still bodybuilding, right?
Well, certainly not in a competitive level. I'd say I'm competing against Father Time, like everyone, like all of us.
Okay, and your meals, because you're not eating any meat, how does your meal day look? Are you doing the one a day also?
No, I experiment for periods of time. For me, I find better. I do better on a window of about 6 hours. So I'll eat, and I've done it both ways. I've done it like eating later in the day, and I've done it eating earlier in the day. And right now, I find that eating earlier in the day, basically after I work out, is when I start. When I start eating, and then I'll eat for about 6 hours. So right now I train in early in the morning around 6 a.m. and then my first meal will be 8, and I'll be done eating at 2 o'clock, and I'll stay in a fasted state till 2 o'clock. And then one day a week, I have I take in no calories for about, actually it works out to about 36 hours that I go into a fasted state. And the goal here, and I'm only consuming about 2000 calories a day, but the goal here is a reduction of body fat and body weight. That's what I'm on right now.
Yeah. I'm blown away by the number of people who I talk to who are smart and savvy people in the industry who are fasting or have some element of fasting now on a regular basis. So, I mean, I'm doing a lot of it too.
I got to give Wade some credit because, you know, we were talking about fasting a long time ago, and Wade was doing fasting, 15 years ago, Wade?
Yeah, I started that way back in, I guess it was 15 years ago I started using it. I read a lot of science-related stuff and from Indian culture, which has been quite common, and experimented with myself, and I just always thought it was a great adjunct to training and nutrition.
Yeah, Ayurvedic medicine has a rich history of fasting. Like for fasting and detoxification protocols, there's such a great number of books out there on it. Like you know, one very simple one for that people could just start with is called Change Your Day, Change Your Life. And I'll link to that in the show notes over at bengreenfieldfitness.com/glutenpodcast. But that's a really good one just to begin to wrap your head around some of these timing and Ayurvedic principles when it comes to scheduling your diet and your exercise sessions. One other question that I had for you guys regarding the supplement piece was, I know that at Bioptimizers you have this thing called HCL, betaine hydrochloric acid, to increase stomach acid, which of course is important for activating a lot of enzymes. But when it comes to that, are you stacking HCL in at all with any of these compounds? I mean, how are you working that in?
Yeah, ideally the perfect meal would be, again, the enzymes, the HCL, which you only need about 2 capsules, and then P3OM, which is also proteolytic, which will also help break down the meal. So in every meal, you would have 2 capsules of HCL, maybe 2 or 3 capsules of P3OM, which is a proteolytic probiotic, and then the appropriate enzyme, whether it's Gluten Guardian or Mazzymes or both, when Ben goes and has his bread and steak.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, really, that's when I use this stuff a lot of the time, is when I'm at a restaurant. I have to admit, when I'm at home, like, we have so many bitters and digestifs and natural compounds, and we're eating extremely clean and a lot of fermented, pre-digested food anyways, it's rare that I even use enzymes that much when I'm at home. But as soon as I travel, I mean, I've got the Gluten Guardian that I throw in my bag, and I've been kind of agnostic lately on digestive enzymes for other purposes. But, you know, whether it's Masszymes or, you know, I'm throwing Thorn Biogest in there sometimes. Sometimes I've got some of the Onnit digestive capsules. I've kind of vary all over the place. But you guys have kind of like a branded suite, and I like that you're adding this keto one in too. So you could basically have your enzyme for protein rich meals, your enzyme for the bread, the gluten, and anything that has glyphosate on it, and then your enzyme for the keto. And then if you need a little bit of extra digestive support for a large meal, then you would add in the HCL, right?
Yeah, I think HCL, I think once you're past 35 years old, stomach acids really take a nosedive. So it's a very smart thing to do regardless. And of course, you know, if you don't want to use HCL, apple cider vinegar helps. I mean, that's what it is. Basically, it's an acid, and the malic acid helps with this, basically doing the similar purpose. But if you don't want to take apple cider vinegar every meal or travel with apple cider vinegar, then the HCL breakthrough is the answer.
Okay, got it. Now, while I have you on, I also, you know, I know that you guys have P3OM, which is that strain where you've got like something like 2.5 billion CFU of Lactobacillus plantarum in those capsules for the immune system, but then also for the general health of the gut. Now, as far as that one goes, do you take that on an empty stomach at a different time of day, or are you taking that at the same time as you take these enzymes?
Yeah, well, the optimal time to take it, I feel, is before bed or first thing in the morning. And the reason being, it's not an implant strain or a colonizer. It's a transient strain, which means it not only just goes into the intestinal tract, but it goes through the whole body and just wipes out bad guys and breaks down undigested protein inside the system. And that's what kind of makes it relatively unique. You can add it in addition with your meals. To augment the breakdown of foods, particularly if you're having a lot of digestive related illnesses, we suggest that you go with a high dosage of all our products and then you start to wean yourself off after the symptoms that you're suffering from go away. So they do work independently from each other, but they have a synergistic effect. And a lot of our customers who have problems or significant digestive problems, we just have them reach out to our customer support team, and then we'll kind of help build out what you need to do and for how long until you're symptom free.
Well, to go on a tangent here, and you were your first when you showed me or showed everybody in the world your Viome test. I got my Viome test, and I talked to Naveen Jain, who actually waited. I talked to him last year. Basically the colonizer myth of probiotics. It seems to be a myth, right? Because almost nobody has any substantial amount of any of these strains. And, you know, people have been taking yogurts and kombuchas and all this stuff. And you're lucky if in the Viome test, one or two show up. So I think that the whole colonizer thing is going to be blown out of the water here as awareness. And there was another study that I just saw like 3-4 weeks ago, I think out of the UK. And they tested, I think, 55 different probiotics, nothing colonized. And we were aware of transient strains, and we were aware that our strain, what it really does, it goes and eliminates the bad guys. You know, it's really like the Navy SEALs that come in and clean house. So that's really what P3OM does. And as Wade said, when you take on an empty stomach, it'll go in, get rid of the bad guys. And it seems to have an incredible effect. I know some people that really had some serious digestive issues that the P3OM by itself completely fixed.
But it doesn't actually colonize, is what you're saying.
Correct. Correct. And we've always known that about P3OM. It's out of the body in about 3 days.
Okay. All right. Got it. But you're saying that would be a good thing that it doesn't colonize?
I'm saying that nothing colonizes.
Okay.
Almost nothing. I mean, as far as commercial probiotics go, yeah. I'm declaring that officially a myth.
Okay, got it. Yeah, that's interesting. You'd think that at some point someone would figure out a way to deliver a probiotic in a method that actually allows it to colonize or maintain stability in the digestive tract. Like, it doesn't seem like that would be that difficult a job to pull off.
Well, one of the issues with probiotics, and our friend Rhonda Patrick talked about this recently, that, you know, if they're not fed what they need to be fed, they start dying off in 24 hours. So just like, you know, they need the right food constantly, which is, I think, a big part of the challenge. So even if you do get them in there, are they going to have, I guess, the food they need to survive?
Well, ultimately, I think the big takeaway here is that if you're eating plants, and this is something that I had no clue that they, if they've been exposed to glyphosate, could downregulate DPP-4 production like that. So, or I'm sorry, it's DPP, not DDP, right? I think DDP is DDP is Diamond Dallas Page.
Yeah.
Dipeptidopeptidase. So basically any plant-based meals that may have been exposed to Monsanto, herbicides, pesticides, glyphosate, any bread, you just pop this stuff before and you're good to go.
Correct.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. And I should mention too, I'm not a fan of, and even my cheat days are probably different than yours, Matt. I just cheat on more of the good stuff, like more of the grass-fed, grass-finished ribeye and sweet potato fries and, like, you know, good organic wine and stuff like that. I don't necessarily go pizzas and Twinkies and stuff like that myself, but I do think that there's a time and a place when, you know, when you're at a restaurant, they bring out that wonderful artisanal bread, or you're at an Italian and you want to get a side of pasta, you know, with your appetizer salad, or, you know, situations where, you know, you're not using this. And I don't want to encourage people to go out and just eat crap food. But at the same time, when you find yourself in these situations, even at parties where you want to try little appetizers and you don't know what's in them, you know, or even like last night, I had it because my wife made, we had a pumpkin carving party, and she made like a sweet potato. It was almost like a sweet potato pie, but you spelt in the crust. And for me, I'm really gluten sensitive. So for me, even for something like spelt, you know, I needed to take the Gluten Guardian beforehand. So there's some quote healthy unquote foods that it comes in handy for as well. Anyways, though, I'm droning on, but what I do have for everybody listening in is a 10% discount. So the 10% discount code is Greenfield, and I'll link to Gluten Guardian, or you can just go to glutenguardian.com/Greenfield, and they've already got a discounted price there, but you knock another 10% off when you use code Greenfield at glutenguardian.com. And when you go there, you probably heard us talking, of course, about P3LM probiotic and Masszymes and some of these others. You can get all of those at that same website just fine. And guys, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the code Greenfield will work for any of that stuff, won't it?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
We love Greenfield.
Cool. I like it. All right. So all of that I'll put over at bengreenfieldfitness.com/glutenpodcast. And if you find Matt and Wade fascinating, go listen to the other episode where we talk about probiotic enemas. We take a pretty deep dive into some other digestive enzymes in addition to DPP that we didn't talk about today, and you know, how Wade body builds on a vegan based diet, and a lot more. So check all of that out as well. I'll link to that at bengreenfieldfitness.com/glutenpodcast. And gentlemen, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing this stuff with us. You're allowing a lot of people now to enjoy their Italian restaurants to the fullest.
Yeah, and if everybody, you know, wants to go and try the products, we got two guarantees. One is a 365-day unconditional money-back guarantee. And then we've got a new thing that we started last year. We haven't really talked about too much publicly, so I think it's the first time we do. We have a "We'll Fix Your Digestion" guarantee. So a lot of times people try a product because they misdiagnosed their problems and they might buy the wrong thing. So we're happy to chat with that person and actually send them another one of our digestive solutions for zero cost. And 95% of the time we found that the second solution fixes their problem. And if that doesn't work, then we'll give them their money back. So as far as we know, no one else is doing this. So it's pretty wild. Pretty
That's
cool.
A pretty good guarantee. I like it.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. 365 Thanks, days. Satisfaction or your money back.
And we'll fix your guarantee. Yeah.
It's we'll good fix your digestion. I like it. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Matt, Wade, thanks for coming on the show, guys.
Thanks, Ben.
All right, folks. I'm Ben Greenfield along with Matt and Wade signing out from bengreenfieldfitness.com. Have an amazing week. Want more? Go to bengreenfieldfitness.com, where you can subscribe to my information-packed and entertaining newsletter, and click the link up on the right-hand side of that webpage that says Ben Recommends, where you'll see a full list of everything I've ever recommended to enhance your body and your brain. Finally, to get your hands on all of the unique supplement formulations that I personally develop, you can visit the website of my company, Kion, at getkion.com. That's getkion.com.